This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
I don't know about you, but I am getting inundated with messages and emails of reach from retailers who are talking about their Black Friday sales and haven't even started thinking about shopping for gifts for the festive season. So it is that time of year when we'll be heading to the shops, or many of us anyway, or buying gifts online for family and friends. And it's also apparently the peak season for scams. So let's have a chat to Nicole Rich, who is the Director of Consumer Affairs Victoria. Nicole, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Warren.
I feel like Black Friday, it's a bit like Halloween. It wasn't as big when we were kids, but now it's huge in terms of sales.
I think we can safely say it's an American import, but it has become really big here. And, you know, some of the sales and deals are pretty real. So I understand why people, you know, get online and start planning ahead and getting their Christmas gifts now.
Let's say we do go to the Black Friday sales, do we have the same rights as when we buy gifts online outside of sale time?
Yeah, I think... you know, there's probably, we can talk about my top tips for the Christmas season and, you know, all the shopping that's going on. But probably the number one is that you do have the same rights, shopping online, but there are probably some, you know, that sort of flows into tip two, which is, but there are some tips and traps to watch out for when you're online, unfortunately.
All right. Let's talk about those. What are some of the traps?
Yeah. So probably an emerging trend that we're seeing is scams gravitating to this space. So, you know, we've probably talked about scams before, and I think there's, you know, a lot of awareness. People are pretty sick of them. There's all sorts of scams that go around. But this is a bit of a, you know, a growing trend, which is the fake website trend. And they're getting pretty good at it. So I think it's really important for people to be aware at this time of year. You're going online, you're doing this sort of shopping. These fake websites are getting pretty sophisticated, and they can be quite hard to spot, at least especially if you're in a hurry. So it's one of the things I really wanted to talk about today. You know, people really need to be careful that they're actually on the retailer's website that they want to be on and not on a fake scam sort of mock website that's mirroring it but is not actually the real thing.
How do we tell the difference if they look so similar and they're, you know, they're getting quite sophisticated in terms of copying the appearance of the original retailer's website?
Look, they sure are. So they can't be on the same, you know, website address or URL. So that's kind of a key one. But often what will happen is you might get an email or a text message about, you know, a sale. It looks pretty real. You click on the link that's embedded and you find yourself at another website. They'll probably have mocked it up to look pretty close to the same thing, but you can usually spot a few details. So obviously the address is one. Sometimes the addresses are pretty clever as well, but they'll just change one letter in the address. So you just need to be really cautious of that, unfortunately, or it might be a .net address rather than a .com address. So those are things you need to look out for. They often use stolen logos. They might actually use a .com.au domain to make them look real. And they often use stolen business numbers like ABNs as well. But if a quick free ABN search can tell you whether it's an ABN that actually belongs to that business or they've just randomly taken an ABN from some completely unconnected business and they're putting that on the website to make it look more legitimate.
So an example would be, let's say we were going to a Myer as a retailer.
Yeah.
And there might be Myer.com.au. They might have Myers.com.au.
Exactly. They're spot on.
And you'd think, because a lot of people say I'm going to Myers, would think that was it.
Yeah, that's right. So that's the kind of, you know, thing that it's pretty clever, right?
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, people do, you know, get caught out with this. And as I say, it's a bit of a growing trend. So I just want to caution people. Probably my top tip to avoid it is don't click on those embedded links that you might get because it can be a scam email. The best way is if you know you want to go to a particular retailer or trader to do your shopping, just navigate there on your, on the web, on the internet yourself. So, you know, actually just type in the address directly to go to the retailer rather than kind of clicking on a link. The other thing to note is obviously a lot of us would get there, you know, you'd probably just do an internet search for Myer and you would then it would come up, you know, near the top of the search results and you'd go there. So one of the other things that we're seeing is, you know, these sort of scam websites used to be like right down the bottom of the search results, and you could have a lot of confidence that the first few returned search results were kind of the legitimate most used websites. Mm. But what we're seeing is scammers are getting higher and higher on the search results and paying to do advertising that they're actually like a fake website. So you have to be a bit careful about the search results that come back these days as well, unfortunately.
Just on that, and I'm wondering if the search engines, I mean, wouldn't they have a responsibility, I suppose, to if they know someone's a scam, to not promote the website up into the search results, up into the top?
Yeah, I think it's concerning. I mean, I'm obviously not the spokesperson for the search sites, but yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a really worrying trend. I know certainly at the federal government level, they've recently announced the reforms to strengthen Australia's scam prevention laws, and that legislation that hasn't passed yet, but it will go through the parliament and be debated, includes proposals to put stronger obligations on a range of companies, including your bank and financial institutions, but also your telcos and these online companies. So, you know, I think it's worth people knowing that that is happening and it's important, but it's not here yet. So, you know, it's not your fault that scams are out there, but unfortunately you do need to be on the lookout and protect yourself.
We're chatting with Nicole Rich, Director of Consumer Affairs Victoria, about some concerning scams that are appearing while we go out and attend the, we don't attend the Black Friday sales, do we? We do them online. I'm wondering, Nicole, would it be better to manually type in the website address yourself rather than even search for it?
Definitely. I think that is definitely what I like to do. And that would be my top tip. I know sometimes that's hard. You might not remember the exact address and you do need to use a search engine. I mean, the search engines will obviously return the correct website as well. All I'm saying to people is just be a bit careful and be on the lookout before you navigate to the website, just to make sure that you really are on the real website, and that's kind of the best way that you can protect yourself when you're shopping and kind of avoid these scams.
Nicole, something that I do, I didn't get caught. One of the online dog food retailers, I did a Google search for it and it came up, and it was one of the, it was a fake website, but it did look like one of the pet food retailers out there, one of the big name ones, and I would have saved, you know, $5, but it would have cost me because I would have lost my whole money. So if you know what I do now, I walk around the corner, and if you have the ability and you're close and you can get to somewhere, and I go and I don't care if I pay $2 more, I'm going to buy it in person from the bricks and mortar store because I'm too scared that we'll get ripped off.
I know, it is such a shame because the other thing is, you know, it can make me sound like a fuddy-duddy because clearly people are going to shop online. You know, that is the reality. Yeah. And it is really convenient and efficient, and you often get a better deal. So, like, I get it. You know, clearly we're all going to shop online. And that is the reality. So, you know, and I'm not saying that's not a good experience. Of course, it can be a great experience, but I'm just saying, just do a few things to make it a little bit safer and, you know, avoid some of the pitfalls. We've seen, you know, a lot of Victorians have reported this scam this year. Like, it's unfortunately, you know, people have lost, I think it's close to $1 million so far this year just to this type of scam. Wow. Let alone all the other types of scams that are out there. And that's just in Victoria. So it's a real thing, and you just don't want to be one of those people, unfortunately.
Not with the way costs are at the moment. Now, exactly. Let's say we think we have been scammed. What can we do, Nicole?
Yeah, so there's a few things to say here. I mean, obviously scammers, they often can operate from overseas, so it can actually be really hard to track them down. But my key message is, you know, scams, when we talk about scams, it sort of sounds like a lighthearted word. It's not. It's actually a crime. And a serious crime, and it's often committed by quite serious, sophisticated criminals. So please know that it's not your fault. You are a victim of crime if you've been caught up in a scam. So I know it can feel a bit embarrassing, but it's really important to recognise that actually, you know, it's not the victim's fault when you're a victim of crime. So please report it as soon as you can. If you realise that something like that has happened, try and report it to your bank or financial institution as quickly as possible. I know there's been a lot of media about whether that's effective or not. The quicker that you report it, the more chance there will be that they can put a stop on a payment or try and get your money back. Obviously, if you use things like credit cards or you know, online payment services like PayPal, they often have mechanisms to put stops on payment or seek chargebacks or return of payments for disputed payments. So that's really important protection. So wherever possible, use those kind of payment mechanisms rather than like a direct transfer, which is harder to get back. So there are a couple of things that you can do to protect yourself. But the important thing is you should report it, because it's also really important that we warn others, that we can take down fake websites. So when we get that intelligence from ordinary members of the public that have seen these things, it really helps us to act and protect other people, or protect you if somebody else does that for you. There's also some good supports out there. Like, it is actually quite upsetting to be a victim of scam. You know, whether you lose a small amount of money or a big amount of money, it's quite awful to be the victim of a crime like that. Can be a bit emotional. So please go to, there are websites like our website or the Scam Watch website that have some really good phone numbers and services that are available if you need a bit of support to sort of deal with the consequences of a scam.
The other thing is, I find, Nicole, is if you know someone who has been a victim of a scam, don't go, oh, you should have checked, or, because you're right, they're so sophisticated, it's so easy to be fooled, and the shame's on the perpetrators, not on those who fall victim.
That's exactly right. So that's why I sort of say with my message, like, it is the reality that they're out there. So we do encourage people to be, you know, aware of scams and to try and protect yourself as much as possible, because that is the reality. But that said, please don't beat yourself up if you do fall victim to one of these, because that's the whole point of them. Like, they're really sophisticated and they wouldn't do it if it didn't work. So, you know, it's not your fault, but try and act as quickly as you can and get the help you need.
Now, Nicole, Christmas gift buying is coming up. Any tips that you'd like to give us for buying gifts for Christmas?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, putting aside scams, you know, you've actually bought a real thing. You're getting a gift. That's what we hope happens. So, like I said earlier, you have the same rights that you do if you go into, you know, if you walk around and get the pet food from the store around the corner.
It's every the same rights. Don't care. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, it's the same rights. Like, if it's, you know, you don't get all the packets that you ordered, or it's the wrong type, you know, you've got the right to sort of return it. You know, all those rights apply whether you're shopping online or not. So the other thing to note is that they also apply to the person you give the gift to, right? So if you're the recipient of a gift, you're giving a gift, those same rights, like, transfer to the person, right? So the store, you know, if you buy something and it turns out it's just faulty and doesn't work, the store can't say, well, you got it as a gift, so we don't owe you anything. They still have to provide a remedy if it's, like, a faulty good, or, you know, it says on the packet that it's a certain colour or thing, and when you open it up, it's just totally a different product. You know, clearly they owe you a remedy. So it's really important that if you're buying or receiving gifts, that, you know, you actually do have those rights as well.
What about if it's a gift card?
Yeah, gift cards are pretty popular, right? Especially
easy
to. I don't know, Warren, we were talking earlier about how we might leave some of our shopping to the last minute, so gift cards can be a good option. Mm-hmm. So I'm pleased to say that these days there are some stronger rights and protections around gift cards. Like, you used to see some really poor practices, like really short expiry dates and things like that could trap people out. So these days the laws are pretty clear. Gift cards have to have a minimum 3-year validity. That applies to every gift card since sort of the end of 2019. So just know that there will be, like, plenty of time for people to use a gift card, which I think is great. If for some reason you get a gift card and it somehow purports to suggest that it's going to end earlier than that, that's actually unlawful. So you should probably report it as well as complaining to the store. So you do get some protections. There's a couple of exceptions for things like, you know, kind of promotional gift cards that are sold at a discount, or, you know, those kind of things, giveaways and things. But for any just legitimate, normal gift card, it does need to go for 3 years. The other thing to note is that they can't, like, add other charges on later. So, you know, you get a gift card, you go and they say, oh, yeah, there's an admin fee to use it, or there's an account keeping fee or an activation fee. No. That's unlawful as well. So once you get the gift card, you should be able to go in the store and use it. There shouldn't be any hidden fees that sting you.
Nicole, you know, the festive season is coming up. A lot of us will consume more. We might put on a little bit of unwanted weight. We go and get a subscription service like a gym membership and probably never use it, or maybe we do. Is there anything we need to, I suppose, be aware of, any precautions shoppers should take before we do take out a subscription service?
Yeah, so subscription, like, this is the time of year that we tend to see people sign up for things like gym membership subscriptions.
You see the A-frames outside all the gyms,
don't you? Yep. Also, subscriptions have become a really popular gift, right? Because, you know, you can buy people, you know, a subscription to something. So, yeah, a lot of people will be buying subscriptions. They can be a really good option, but I guess, again, we do like to make people aware of, unfortunately, some of the tricks that can get used that maybe lead to us spending more money than we might have intended or planned up front. So apart from the usual tips with things like gym memberships, like really think about whether you're going to use it and the cost, check what it would take to cancel it, whether it's going to cost you money to cancel. Those are all like really good tips. But also these days when you're shopping online, we do see these kind of traps where they encourage you to sign up for like a free trial or a really cheap 1 or 2 month subscription or something like that, but they can roll over and lock you in to, say, a yearly subscription at a much higher price. And a lot of them can be easy to sign up to and much harder to cancel once you've signed up. So again, I would just really urge people to be a bit careful about that sort of thing. Make sure you check the details before you sign up to any kind of subscription or trial, whether it's online or at the gym around the corner, and what the costs are going to be, you know, after the initial period as well, so that you can be really sure that you really want that subscription before you sign up.
Definitely, because we all know people that have gym memberships and never go. Nicole, one more before we let you know, before we let you go. Money can be a bit tight this time of year. Is there anything we should be aware of if we purchase things on one of these, you know, buy now, pay later services like Afterpay or Lay-by? What should we know then?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Lay-by is a good option if you're on a budget, but unfortunately most stores probably don't necessarily offer traditional Lay-by anymore.
Used to be huge.
It's actually like a really good cost-effective option, but again, I'm going to sound like a bit of a fuddy-duddy, right, because most people don't use them anymore. Most, you know, if people are kind of doing payments by installments, they're often using things like Buy Now, Pay Later, which you talked about. Mm. So you usually will end up paying your purchase off over a few weeks, which is great, but it can be a bit longer if it's a bit more expensive. And it's just really important to understand that if you know, they say it's interest-free, you don't pay any interest, but you will pay fees that will add up really quickly, especially if you miss a payment. And it can be really easy to overcommit yourself because you're kind of signing up upfront, you get the product instant gratification, but then the cost is coming later. So, yeah, I just really urge people to still stick to your budget and not be tempted by the fact that you can pay it later. I know that can be easier said than done, but it's just probably really important to set a budget before you go out to shop. If you do run into trouble, you're having trouble with meeting your budget or your commitments, please know that there is help available. There are free financial counselling services. They're independent, they're confidential, they're a terrific service. And you can contact something called the National Debt Helpline online or on the phone if you do need a bit of help with your finances.
So interest-free doesn't necessarily mean fee-free.
Correct.
Nicole, wealth of information. We've taken a bit more of your time than we expected, but thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you, Warren, and have a lovely holiday season ahead as well.
Thank you. I'll see you at the gym.
Yeah, you will.
You too. Thanks, Nicole. That is Nicole Rich, the Director of Consumer Affairs Victoria. If you want all that information and more, don't forget, check out the Consumer Affairs Victoria website, consumer.vic.gov.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.